Well, just over a year ago, my wife Mandy and I took our son Peyton to the zoo for the first time, and it was an experience. In fact, we decided it was his first birthday, and we decided we wanted to do something really, really fun for his birthday. And it was a little bit risky because we take him to the Gwinnett Braves game, and he's scared of Chopper. And so these are like fake animals, but we were like, well, maybe real animals are kind of the money thing. And so we decided, let's take the risk. Let's take him to the zoo. Let's have a fun day together. And so we took him to the zoo, and we looked around at all the elephants and all the different animals at the zoo, all sorts of animals, you know, monkeys and pandas. And he loved it. He loved seeing all the different animals there. And one of the things that was really funny is every time he would look at an animal, and it was like he would point and he would say with so much excitement, "Dog, dog." And we would kind of stop, and, you know, his vocabulary as a little one-year-old, you know, just turned one, was a little limited. Everything was a dog. And so, you know, we'd look at the pandas, and he'd say, "Dog," and he'd look at the elephants and say, "Dog." And finally, instead of me saying, "No, buddy, that's a panda," I just started saying, "Sure, buddy, that's actually an elephant dog." This is bad parenting, but, you know, this is what we did, you know? It's like trying to affirm my kid, but also instruct him, like, this is a panda dog and a gorilla dog and all sorts of things. And now that he's two, he used to see every animal when he was one as kind of all exactly the same thing. And now that he's two, he started to see the uniquenesses of every animal. In fact, we'll go to the zoo now. We've taken him several times, and he'll look out and he'll say, "Lions." And he'll do a big roar, you know, with his, you know, all of his manly, you know, two-year-old voice that he's got, roar. Or, you know, he'll see the monkeys, and he'll make some kind of monkey noise. Y'all are wanting me to make it. I'm not going to do it. Or he'll make some kind of elephant noise, like with a trunk. But then when we started taking him, he started to realize that elephants stink at the zoo. And so now he doesn't say elephants and do the trunk sound. Now he says elephants, shoo-wee. And so he's seeing the intricacies of all the different animals. And here's why I tell you that. Not because I like talking about my son, which I do. I tell you that because no creature is exactly the same. No creature is exactly the same. No person is exactly the same. In fact, when God formed every creature, he gave every creature a special expertise, a uniqueness about it. And so think about animals. Some animals hop. Some run. Some animals crawl. Some burrow. Some animals are creepy. Some animals, you know, you see what I'm going? All animals kind of have a uniqueness, and they're uniquely shaped to do certain things. You know, when an architect is about to build a building, the first thing an architect needs to know is what is the purpose of the building going to be? Because it's very different. If an architect were to build a house, you build it very differently than you would build some kind of medical office. You don't want one of those chairs in your home. That would be kind of freaky when guests came over, right? And it's very different the way the architect builds a gymnasium versus a music hall. There's different acoustics that are needed. And in the same way, before God created you, God decided what role you would play on this earth. God had a particular purpose and a design in mind before God created you. And God put certain things inside of you so that you could serve him and serve other people in particular ways that makes your ministry unique. Here's the cool thing. You weren't put on this earth to just take up space. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. There's a purpose because we have a God who loves us. In fact, many people have been wearing our People Matter shirts. We gave them out in our first week of this series. That's what this whole thing starts about. When we're talking about purpose, it all starts with the reality that people matter to God. God loves you and has a plan for your life. And it means that we're not here to just sit on the sidelines in our life and watch other people just do their thing and serve in particular ways. And we're not put on this earth to just consume life. God puts you here to make a contribution or to make a difference. And so today we're in the fourth week of our series called What on Earth Am I Here For? What on earth am I here for? A huge question about why we're here, what God put you on this earth to do. And it's more than just your career or anything like that. We're talking about five big purposes that God has for all of our lives, no matter what your uniqueness is, these five purposes that God has for you and for me. And they're all found in the scriptures. In fact, the first week we talked about our first purpose is because God loves us. Our first purpose is to love God back. That's the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's your first purpose. And we live out that purpose when we love God in any area of our life. That's called worship. We think of worship as kind of, we come to worship and we experience worship and we hear worship. But worship is so much more than what you just saw and what you're experiencing. When you love God in any area of your life, it's called worship. That's your first purpose. Your second purpose, as we talked about in week two, is that you're formed to have fellowship with other believers. You're not made to do life alone, and you're not made to do faith alone. In fact, talking about animals, in the animal kingdom, what happens to a gazelle if a gazelle gets left alone? It gets picked off by predators, you know? We're not made to do life alone or to do faith alone, but to come into God's family through the church and to have a place to belong. And so that's the second purpose for your life. The third purpose for your life that we talked about last week is that you're created to grow. It's kind of weird. You may have remembered, if you were here, I fed Marvin Davis some Cheerios. And it was awkward because, you know, Marvin should be able to feed himself right now. And so in the same way, we need to be able to grow up and mature in our faith to grow to become more like Jesus. If you missed any of those messages, you can check those out online. But today we're talking about our fourth purpose. And our fourth purpose is this. We've already talked about what God does in us and what God wants for us. Here's what God wants us to do. The fourth purpose for your life is you were shaped for serving God. You were shaped for serving God. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus, and he speaks to the disciples there, and he says this, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," for what? "To do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do." Now, we're not saved by doing a whole lot of things for God. We're saved only by grace through faith, but you're put on this earth so that when his grace pours into you, when his grace is working in you, God wants us to put his grace to work in our life. And so you're put on this earth for God to love you, but also do you love him back, and also to make a difference with what God is doing in your life. God put you on this earth for that purpose. And so when it says you are God's workmanship, I want you to think of a poet who is sitting down at a desk, who's crafting a poem, who's taking so much time to work the language and to decide exactly what word is going to fit in a particular place. That's what Paul means here. It's like a poet sitting down, carefully crafting it. And so in other words, it's saying, instead of saying workmanship, it's kind of like he's saying, you are God's masterpiece. You see, when God created you, God took so much time to carefully plan out every bit of your DNA, every bit of your passions, everything that makes up who you are. God put that in you. And so God shaped you to serve him in a specific way that makes your ministry unique. Now, that's right. I said your ministry unique. All of us, if you're a follower of Jesus, everybody is in ministry. Now, that's kind of a funny thing. And sometimes we're like, I don't know if I'm in ministry. But ministry isn't something that's just for pastors or clergy or for priests. The Bible says that if you're a follower of Jesus, you are a minister. You are in ministry. Now, here's what I mean. In the Bible, the word ministry and service are used interchangeably. Service and ministry are the same kind of thing. And so when you serve, when you're a Christian, when you're serving in any kind of capacity, when you serve God, it means you're ministering. Isn't that a cool thing? And so when you serve out of your giftedness in any kind of way, you're in ministry. And so ministry isn't just what we do and what I do from the pulpit. It's not just what you do when you're at church. You're in ministry when you serve God in any aspect of your life. That's why one of our core values here at the Fountain is this. We invite every member to actively engage in ministry. We invite every member to actively engage in ministry. Now, we're not talking about just members of a church. We're talking about the bigger view of what God, or what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when he talks about the body as a unit. And he says that every member or body part of the body is significant. We believe that the members, anybody who is a follower of Jesus, you belong to Jesus. And you're a part of the body of Christ. And so it means that every member, every person who is a believer should be actively engaged in ministry. And we want to help you to do that. You know, many of you know that almost 3 weeks ago, we lost an incredible man on this earth. The founder of Chick-fil-A, Truett Cathy, passed away. And, you know, being from the Atlanta area, Truett Cathy, people were talking about Truett Cathy on Facebook and Twitter and all sorts of things. I know I'm talking a lot about social media, which, by the way, I'm sorry if you were freaked out by Selfie Sunday just a little bit ago, but sometimes we roll like that and all that stuff. But anyway, Truett Cathy, he passed away. And did you notice what people were saying in the marketplace? People were saying in our spheres of influence. People all over the world seemed to love him. People seem to really respect that man. And I don't think it was really because of the amount of money he accumulated. It wasn't because he was in Forbes magazine as one of the wealthiest people. It wasn't because of all the success that he had. And it really wasn't, it wasn't really because he made the best chicken biscuit and the chicken sandwich on the planet Earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Truett Cathy, for bringing that to us. But his life had significance and meaning. His legacy was made because the way he served people and the way he loved people. That's what people talked about, and that's what left a legacy and meaning in people's lives. In fact, Truett Cathy lived a life of significance and meaning and purpose, but not because he was a self-made billionaire. His life meant something because the difference he made in people's lives. And so when you look at your life, why do you think you're here, really? Why do you think you're put on this earth, really? You know, in your final days, Rick Warren talks about in the book, What on Earth Am I Here For? That we're reading as a church. He talked about in week one, how on your final days, when you're on your deathbed, which is so morbid to think about, I know. In your final days, nobody's going to talk about how much money you made. Nobody's going to say, bring me my diplomas and let me look at them. Nobody's going to talk about the amount of possessions or the education you had. But people are going to talk about the way you loved people. And people are going to talk about the way you served people, because that's what you're put on this earth to do. In fact, that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. He says, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And as Paul Smith, not the Apostle Paul, was telling us in worship just a little bit ago, Jesus also said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. See, it's interesting that the King of Kings, the one who stepped down into heaven, the one who is worthy of all honor and glory and praise, was willing to put on skin and to live among us and to serve. And that's the model God has for your life. He wants you to have significance and meaning because you serve, by the way you serve others. That's why Jesus said in the Great Commandment in Matthew chapter 22, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love people. That's what life is all about. That's what God wants you to do on this earth. You're shaped for serving God. And no one on this earth is shaped or wired exactly like you. Now, this is more than a feel-good talk. God wants us to put that to work. And so what I want to do today is I want to look at five things. They're quick things. Five things that make up your shape. Everybody's shaped in a certain way. Now, some of you may not like your shape when you look in the mirror. I'm not talking about, you know, the way you've been working out and your shape and your figure and all that stuff. What I'm talking about when I say shape is this acronym, S-H-A-P-E, shape. And it's in the book, What on Earth Am I Here For? But it's really five things that God has put in you that makes you who you are. And so the first thing, oh, and by the way, these are acronyms, so every single letter means, you know, is means something. And so the S of shape, if you're taking notes, is your spiritual gifts. Every single person has spiritual gifts. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you have your Bibles. If you don't, no worries, the words will be on the screen, but we also offer Bibles every Sunday out on the connection point, and you can pick that up on your way out. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 4, here's what the Apostle Paul writes. He says this, there are different kinds of gifts, say different, but the same Spirit distributes them, say the same. There are different kinds of service, say different. But the same Lord, say same. You're kind of getting where we're going here. It says this, there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. In other words, there's so many particularities in you, uniquenesses in you. We're all different, but it's the same Lord who makes you who you are. And then it says this in verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common goods. In other words, he's talking about spiritual gifts. God gives spiritual gifts in your life and for you, for the common good. It means that the spiritual gifts in you are not for your own benefit. It's for the benefit of serving God and serving others. Then it says this in verse 8. And he lists all the different spiritual gifts. He says this, to one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. I'd like to have that. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues or languages is what that means there. and to still another, the interpretation of tongues or languages. All these are the work of the one and same God, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. See, that means that when we talk about spiritual gifts, these aren't natural abilities. These are not the natural abilities you were just born with. You know, these aren't things like, you know, I have a singing ability, or I don't have a singing ability, or I love to sing in the shower, but people tell me I can't sing. It's not like stuff like that. And it's not like, technical abilities you may have, or working with people, or working with kids. It's not those things. But spiritual gifts are more like superpowers that God has put in you. It's kind of funny to think of them like this, but when I was a little boy, every little boy wanted to be a superhero. You know, wanted to have superpowers, being able to fly and all sorts. That's not what God gives you. But what spiritual gifts are, they're kind of like superpowers, these super gifts that are given to you that you only have with your connection with him. When you're connected with Jesus, all of a sudden you're able to do things that are apart from your natural ability. For instance, when God called me to preach, when God called me to communicate the gospel, I found for me that was a spiritual gift. That I wouldn't necessarily say, and my natural ability was getting in front of people and talking to people and communicating about so many things. But when God's Spirit started working in me, God started showing me that, whoa, I have the spiritual gift. Because of my connection to him, it came alive. It's a spiritual gift. And so spiritual gifts are given by God and to be used specifically for God's purposes, to seek and save the lost and to bring about God's kingdom in the world. And everyone's spiritual gifts are important. Every single one of your gifts are important. And no one person has every single gift. That's probably a good thing. But here's the thing. Sometimes we look at other people's abilities, natural abilities, or other people's spiritual gifts, and we kind of have gift envy. Have you ever done this before? Where you look at somebody and maybe you see the natural ability Paul Smith has for singing, and you say, wow, I wish I could just sing like Paul Smith. That would be awesome. Everybody wants to sing like Paul Smith. Or maybe, whatever it is. Sometimes we look at other people and we say, if only I had that. But the reality is God is putting certain things in you that other people don't have. And what happens is when the body of Christ, when all of us start serving out of our shape and out of our giftedness, all of a sudden God puts the pieces together and he makes it something that's a united force that can be a blessing to the world and to be a blessing to him. God wants you to serve out of your shape. You know, one summer I was going through my closet and I found this Christmas bag. It was obvious it was a Christmas bag. There were like little angels on it, red and green. And I opened the Christmas bag and, instead of just pitching it out, you know, it's kind of throwing stuff away, which is a rare thing at my house for me to do that. But I was going through it and I decided, well, I'm just going to open the bag and maybe there'll be something in it. And I started looking in it and just, I don't know why I did it, but I just, of course there's tissue paper and I started, throwing that out. And finally, I found that there really, to my surprise, was something in the bag. I pulled it up and it was a shirt. It was actually a really cool shirt in this gift. And now this is like the summertime and it was given to me on Christmas. And I had never even laid eyes on this gift. And so it was one of those things where for months and months after Christmas, when I'd look for something to wear, I could have worn this shirt, but it did me absolutely no good to receive that gift and yet not even open it or lay eyes on it. It's the same thing with our spiritual gifts, with the gifts God is putting in you that are given by the Spirit. God wants us to put those gifts to work, to open up the gifts and to use those. Maybe in some way, maybe your spiritual gifts are things that are way different from your natural abilities. But God wants you to put those gifts to work to be a blessing to others, but also so that you can be blessed by seeing God at work. And so that's the S. Now the H of your shape, it stands for your heart. Your heart, if you're taking notes. Now your heart, here's what I mean by this. It could easily also mean passions, things you're passionate about, things that you're interested in. There's things that really drive you. There's things that you're really passionate about, and there's also things you're not passionate about. And God puts those things in your heart as a way to help you to serve him. In fact, God put sometimes those very things can be a sign of how God wants you to serve. On the other hand, sometimes you can be really passionate about something and have a heart to do something and something really drives you, but you don't have the gifts or the spiritual gifts to be able to do what you're passionate about. And that's probably not where God is wanting you to serve. But on the other hand, oftentimes when God raises up passions or puts things in your heart, sometimes it can be a compass that can point you in the direction of where God wants you to serve. And so if you've ever looked at anything in the world or in the church and said, somebody should do that, it may be the nudge of the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, somebody should do that, and I'm calling you to be a part of that. That's what God wants us to do. And so sometimes God can do that through our heart and through our passions. In fact, God wants you to serve him with enthusiasm and with passion. In fact, that's what I think it means when it says love God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. It means we're not to serve God in a boring way or in a reluctant way. God wants us to serve him with passion and enthusiasm. And so God will put inside of your heart passions, things that you're passionate about, so that you can be passionate about the way you're serving him. And so what are you passionate about? It may just be what God is calling you to be part of. So your spiritual gifts is S. Your heart makes up your shape. And H is for heart. And the third thing, your A, stands for abilities. Abilities. Now those are just your natural abilities. We already talked about the things like that. Maybe music abilities or athletic abilities or organizational abilities or the ability to communicate or technical abilities. All sorts of abilities that you just naturally have. So what natural abilities do you have? How might God want to use that in the church and in the world? And then the P stands for personality. Your personality. Everybody's got different personalities. Thank God. That would be really boring if everybody had the same personality as me. That'd be really boring. No amen. Somebody had an amen in the first service and everything. It's good. I like how you dish it out to me. You know, equal opportunity offenders out here. I like it. But anyway, your personality. You know, if you've ever taken the Myers-Briggs test or the DISC assessment, D-I-S-C, you learn that there's all sorts of personality types. Look around and you can tell all sorts of personality types. And that's an awesome thing. God gave you your personality for a particular purpose. And God wired you to even use your personality to serve him in the church and to serve in the world. And so what personality do you have? And then finally, your experiences is E. E is for experiences. And so, you know, we have all kinds of experiences in our lives. We all have the good. We all have the bad. And if you've seen those shirts, we also have the ugly for many of us. Those things were like, I've got great experiences and bad experiences and also ugly experiences in my life. And the reality is, God doesn't want to just use your good experiences. God wants to use all of it. Every bit of your experiences is a way to serve him. Now, this is the area where most of us, we're great with the spiritual gifts. Thank you, God, for the gifts you've given me, the spiritual gifts, and the heart that I'm, things I'm passionate about. Thank you for my abilities and my personality, or maybe sometimes not my personality. You know, sometimes we're hard on ourselves. But the experiences is the one area of our life where I find that so many of us look at God and say, okay, God, you gave me all the other things, but my experiences disqualify me from ministry. God, there's no way that you could use somebody like me. There's no way that somebody like me could serve because did you see what I've done? Did you see the stories? Do you know God, my past and my failures and my inabilities, my lack of faith? And God, the reality is, God wants to use every single bit of that. In fact, sometimes we hold up those things and we say, God, you can't use somebody like me. But the reality is, look at the scripture all throughout. These people that you see in stained glass windows, the disciples and so many people in the scripture, they weren't perfect people. And they had some the good and the bad and the ugly in their life, the experiences they faced. And God still called, Jesus still called them and wanted to use them. In fact, you think of people like Moses, who's this incredible hero in the faith. Moses, God called Moses to go and speak to the Pharaoh of Egypt to let God's people go. And Moses is looking at his own life and his own gifts and his own experiences and thinking, I murdered somebody. I have a speech impediment. How are you going to use this, God? And yet God used him. And God used somebody like Jesus' mother, Mary. Mary was just a teenage girl. And yet she was supposed to give birth to the Savior of the world. You know, God also used somebody like Abraham and Sarah, who said, God, we're too old for you to use. We're well past our prime. In fact, use one of those young whippersnappers. Use somebody like that. And God said, no. I'm bringing the child a blessing. Even though, Sarah, you're past the age of childbirth, I want to use you to bring about, and I want to bring the child a blessing through your life. And then somebody like Paul, who was an incredible persecutor of Christians, God used him. Somebody like Joseph, who had an incredible dysfunctional family. Anybody there? Don't raise your hand. And his brother sold him into slavery, and yet God used that. And then somebody like David, who had this incredible moral failure, and yet God, even after that, called him to be his king. And he said about David, he is a man after my own heart. And so it doesn't matter the excuses we bring before God, even in our experiences, the list that we hold up, we say, God, I can't, I can't, I can't. Jesus says, I'm the great I am. And maybe you can't, but I can. And so the reality is, it doesn't matter the excuses we bring to God. Nothing's too much for God to use. And so your best excuses might be the best thing God uses. Your best excuses might be the best thing God uses. You know, God wants to use you, and when you serve out of your shape, God will give you incredible purpose in your life. We've seen that happen in so many people who have been serving here at the Fountain. So many ways that people serve, and I've heard story after story of people who serve on a consistent basis and are saying, I can't wait to get here to serve with those kids. I can't wait to get here and see the people that I'm around. I can't wait to get here to be able to hand out bulletins or whatever. It's so awesome when you start serving something bigger than yourself. God gives you incredible purpose. And that's what we want to help you to do. But the reality is, it takes your willingness and my willingness to say, God, here I am. Here's my shape. Use me. There's a story of recorded in Annette Simmons' book, The Story Factor. And she tells a story, you may have heard of it before, where this man comes across a construction site. And he sees three people working on the construction site. And he goes to the first man who's working on the construction site. And he says to him, so, excuse me, sir, what are you doing? And the guy kind of rolled his eyes and kind of gave him an annoyed look, like, why are you bothering me? And he said, I'm laying bricks. What does it look like I'm doing? I'm laying bricks. And then he goes to the second one and he says, excuse me, sir, what are you doing? And the guy was, you know, kind of doing the same thing. And he said, I'm building a wall, man. I'm just building this wall. And then he goes to the third one and he notices something very different about the way he served and the way he worked. And he went to him and he seemed to have a little bit of a joy to what he was doing. And he looked at this man and he said, excuse me, sir, what are you doing? And the man stepped back from what he was doing and he looked up with kind of this awe and amazement and admiration. And he said, I'm building a cathedral. You see, the way you serve, the perspective you bring when you serve, sometimes we might be serving in things that we think, this is just a small thing. But God may be using it something so much bigger than what you could ever imagine. God may be using it to build up his kingdom. You know, and so when we talk about that, you know, there's several ways. Sometimes when you serve, it's hard to see the significance, the greater significance of it. In fact, it's easy to look at your giftings or your shape. It's easy to look at the way you're serving God in the church or in the world and to think, I'm just laying bricks, God. I'm just holding babies. I'm just putting up pipe and drape. I'm just handing out bulletins. I'm just in this certain area in a cubicle doing my job, no matter what it is. Sometimes, or I'm just opening my home for a refresh group. But here's the thing, when you and I start serving out of our giftedness, when we start serving out of our shape, what happens is that God may be doing something so much greater in you and through you. God may not be building a cathedral, but he may be building people and his kingdom through you because you serve. And so what are your next steps? We try to do this every Sunday. Got a couple very practical next steps. If you're not connected in a serve team in some kind of way, we want to help you to get connected. Serve team just simply means serving here at the Fountain in some kind of way. And we have just seen so many people be blessed by getting to serve. We want to encourage you or spur you on or whatever the word is there. We want to encourage you to get connected in a serve team because we know that it'll really be a blessing to your life. And you'll have even more purpose in what you do, even when you come to church. And so we want to help you to find your place. And so one next step could be out on the connection point. When you leave today, there's a serve team application. And you can pick that up and fill that out right there on the spot. Or you can take it home and look at different ways that you can serve. But we want to help you to serve and to find a place to serve out of your shape. The second thing in your bulletin is actually a spiritual gifts assessment. Your second next step could be that. There's an online spiritual gifts assessment. Now, no gifts assessment is perfect, but it's 98 questions. It's a little long, but you could go online and take that and just get an idea of what spiritual gifts you may have, the things that God has given you, so that you can put those to use. So those are great, great tools for you to use. But the reality is God wants to bless you, and he wants to use you to serve him in the world. But the question for all of us is this: will you step forward in faith and allow God to work through you and to use your shape? Let me pray for you. God, we thank you so much for our shape. God, there's so many things that maybe we've looked at ourselves and we said, God, why did you make me like this? But God, we thank you for making us like this. We thank you for making us in the way you've made us. And we thank you, God, that you shaped us to serve you in particular ways. God, we're so blessed by your grace. We're so blessed by the things you put in us. But God, I pray that they wouldn't just stay in us, that the things, that the gifts and the passions and the spiritual gifts and the abilities and all the things that make up our shape, even our experiences, God, I pray that you would use those. You would help us all to have the courage and the faith to open those gifts and to put them to use. Because God, that's one of our purposes. We're shaped to serve you. And so God, I pray for every single one of us that we know that if we're going to serve you in any kind of capacity, no matter what it is, I pray you would help us to see that it's more than laying bricks, that you're using it to build a cathedral. But God, as we go and serve you in any kind of capacity, we need your grace. We need your Holy Spirit. And so Holy Spirit, pour into us. Help us, God, to as we leave from here, to know that we're not alone, that you want to work in us, you want to work through us, and send us out, God, to be vessels of your grace for the world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.